Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store. And around the world on MikeOMaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show preview. That's right. It's a preview. For those of you that have never heard the bonus show, welcome.
Bonus show.
Welcome. We are glad to have you with us. This is what we do every week, one extra little hour for each and every one of you. And we hope that by the time you get listening to this and you finish listening to this, you will be a subscriber.
Please.
For life. Winston. Anyway, I don't know what I'm saying. To start the bonus show, it has been requested that I tell the fable of the pond hockey incident.
I think it's more of a parable because it teaches a lesson, does it not?
To hate your sister?
Well, there's that. How about this? We've never done this. After we tell the parable, let's all say what we learned from it.
Okay. Well, then we'd be Opie and Anthony. No, but that would be at the end of the show.
No, this is within the show.
Yeah, within the show.
Okay. And we're not Opie and Anthony because we're still together.
I believe I am 9 or 10 years old.
Yes.
And back in the day, back when before global warming took hold around the world, there were very, very cold winters in Connecticut. And the ponds every single year would freeze over. And we would love. There's nothing we enjoyed more than skating on the ponds each and every day. Yes, with our hands behind our back and tassels in our hair.
And the organist. The hardest part was getting the organ out to the pond.
And I would go out in the morning at like 9 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock in the morning. I would skate until sundown. I would skate all day. And I would maybe come in for lunch. And by the way, in my day, in my neighborhood, and I know a lot of people that will relate to this, parents called their children to lunch and supper. That's
yes.
The way it was, like, Mike, come this way. That was what we did in our neighborhood. They just lean out the window and bellow. There was no worry of the child being abducted or any of this. It would just be, they just lean out the window and call you, and you would be called for dinner.
When you talk about the pond, was it an actual geographical pond, or was it the kind of thing where you would leave the hose on and flood the backyard and
no.
It would freeze?
Next door to my house was a brook, a stream that ran. And by the way, there's a song called The Hills of My Connecticut. Connecticut is filled with hills. And so there were lots of rolling hills.
Yes.
And ponds and streams. And in my particular neighborhood, you had one big pond up the hill, Wood Pond, it was called,
okay.
On Wood Pond Road. And then that would feed the brook down into a tiny little pond in back of the Kelly's house that
right.
was really small. This tells me how old I was. I had to be like 8 or 9. I was a little guy.
Mm-hmm.
And it would feed the pond in back of the Kelly's house. And then that would go over a little dam that they had. And
language.
That would go into a brook that would feed the last pond that was down right behind our house.
Uh-huh.
So there were technically within less than a half a mile, there were 3 ponds that you could skate on. But the one that we were skating on that day was right behind Kelly's. It was the closest to my house. I could walk down the hill and get on the ice, and I could skate all day long. And it was not as big a pond as the other one, so it was just a couple of us that had a makeshift goal set up, and we were slapping the puck around. And I could do it for hours. It was by the way, it was why many people in my neighborhood were
up to the sky.
What the f*** are you playing?
It's The Hills of My Connecticut.
You found it?
Yes.
I've never heard it. Turn it up.
We have to take it from the beginning. Here we go, from the top.
There's a place that's nearest to heaven.
Turn it up.
You got to send it to him.
The hills roll up to the sky.
The Hills of My Connecticut.
And the land is peaceful and lovely.
The Hills of My Connecticut, where I was born.
It's where I want to live and die.
Not really.
Mike, this version is by the Yankee Nutmeggers.
Oh, the Yankee Nutmeggers. Horny group.
Oh, they,
really super horny group.
Absolutely.
Banging everybody.
I love the hills of my Connecticut.
Okay.
I love the
It's hold on. Let me get close to that song for a second. There we go. I put it on there. Here we go. And
oh,
it's been destroyed.
Shall I send it to you anyway?
Over.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I will. Bills of my Connecticut.
The point is that that's what we did during the winter. And on this particular day, I had had a lunch, and then I had had kind of an early supper because my parents were going somewhere, and my sister, who is 7 years older than I am, was babysitting me. And my sister would have been 15, 16 at the time.
Okay.
You know, and I, because I'm, you know, she's a 7 year age difference, and that makes me what? When she's 15,
well,
or 16.
Well, 9 years. 9 or 10.
Yeah.
9 or 10.
Right.
So she's babysitting me, and I have a lunch, I think, right before my parents, or a late lunch, and I went back down to skate. And I'm skating and having so much fun, and it's so cold, and I'm all bundled up, but it doesn't matter because I got my hockey gloves on, and I got my hockey skates on, and I'm really, really excited. And I think my hockey skates were my dad's used skates that I used for years and years and years. And it was just, and if you'd seen these skates, it looks like something out of, you know, Hans Brinker. It was really, really.
I think that's really commonplace old. When you're a kid. You just use what your older brother had or what your pops had.
And
you
probably
you had,
and
right?
You're probably wearing like 8 pairs of socks, so they fit.
Oh, we got 8 pairs of socks. And it's just, but it's fun, fun. So much fun that I forgot that nature was brewing in my large intestine. Yeah. I didn't realize that as the hours rolled away, that suddenly it just hit me like a ton of bricks.
Especially after a wintertime lunch.
Probably it was Saturday, so it was probably like chili or spaghetti sauce or something like that.
And, oh no, know, that's a
colon,
detail we've never
explosives,
gotten. We've never
know.
Gotten that before.
By the way, if you ever have the vegan chickpea tuna salad, the artificial, that is, I call nature's explosive. If you ever want to really get your system started,
you could use that.
Very,
to
very
just
innocent.
Blow up the holes of my Connecticut.
Yeah, it'll rip you up. It might, I'm surprised it doesn't blow a hole in your stomach. That's how powerful. But anyway, I digress.
Yes,
the pond was cold. We were cold, and suddenly, immediately, with no waiting, with no hesitation, I felt what I like to refer to as the pain.
Oh, yes.
And the pain was instantaneous. And I said, I better get up the hill. Jack Spratt.
Yeah.
I better get up that hill. And I go up the hill and I leave my skates on. There's no time to even deal with the skates.
Because there's a lot of lacing involved, right?
Right. There's a lot of lacing and I don't want to take the time. And we have a runner on what are ye old New England hardwood floors. These were not hardwood floors because people wanted fancy hardwood floors. These were hardwood floors because they were the floors that the pilgrims used.
That's what they built. That's you made
we
floors
had
out
wooden
of wood.
Floors. Yeah. All the houses in Connecticut, in my town.
How do you
had
know the pilgrims
floors.
Built them first? How do you know that?
He found a shoe with a buckle on it.
My house was built like 1958.
In the walls.
Yeah.
So I get up there and for whatever reason, God knows what she was up to, but the side door to my little cape that I lived in was locked, and I banged on the door because I wanted to get it. Kathy, my sister, comes to the door, and I said, Kathy, let me in, please. I've got to use the bathroom. And she says, not with those skates on. I said, you don't understand. I'll walk over the carpet. I'll be gentle, please. Not with the skates on. I said, I have an emergency. I have not with the skates on. And I said, so I'm pleading with her. And this argument, I realize.
And every moment that passes.
Yeah. If I had just perhaps sat down on the bench on the little walkway from the garage into our house. Am I painting that New England picture of
you are,
a tiny little walkway?
Although I will jump to your defense, because if you are that far into what we call in my household the urgency,
yeah.
Sometimes shifting to a sitting position might actually accelerate the process.
Well, it's funny you bring that up, because finally I realize she's not going to yield. I said, but it's cold out. She said, you can come in and sit on the chair right over here. And she points right inside. I would walk through the dining room,
right,
then through the kitchen, and there's the bathroom. We had one on the main floor, one on the upstairs. We have one in the basement. We have one bathroom in the basement that was very, very cold. But later in life, that's where I went for private time. And I don't mean bad private time. I mean, that's where if you really had to drop a deuce, that's where you would go, not to infringe on anybody else's
I understand.
Sinus cavity.
As a courtesy.
So, So she's standing there like a goddamn prison guard standing over me, and I sit down on one of my parents' ye olde colonial chairs. These chairs that if you and I sat on them right now, Rob, they'd collapse. And I begin
dozens and dozens of thin, spindly like dowel rods that hold them together. There I know the is. Style you mean.
That's yeah. it. That's it. That's what they all had them. Every single
of course
a spinning wheel in the corner and like a
Michael. These are early American and they're classic and they'll never go out of style.
Like a straw witch in the corner with corn cobs. And so. So I'm sitting in the chair and I start to unlace my first boot.
Yes.
And as I get two strands done and I feel, and unfortunately at that point there was there's nothing I could do. I, you'd made me late already. It was very frustrating.
Oh no.
And I mean, it's there and Listen, 9 years old is old enough to where, you know, you're not, it's not like a little baby anymore. You've made big potty mess.
Yes, and, you have.
And I had snow pants on with I think jeans and long underwear underneath them. And
well, the layers you're talking actually- about
really, I mean, this was like Chipotle from hell. All right. This was not, there were more layers to this.
Oh, God. The unwrapping had to be hideous.
It was horrible.
Yes.
It was a horrible.
How did your sister respond?
Oh, no, you didn't. And I'm like, you made me. And
you showed her.
Yeah, you did.
I will give her credit that when I shit in my pants in my parents' dining room, I think she assisted me. I think she assisted me
in what way?
Like helping me get out of these nasty soiled.
Well, she became a sibling, a sister at that point.
She became an older, caring sister after she tortured me into evacuating my bowels in the colonial dining room.
May I offer a counterpoint on that? Because, you know, everyone has a different take on this story. When you actually soiled yourself, I believe she's a very bright lady. We know this.
Yes.
Started thinking three or four steps ahead.
Right.
And also started to think, how is a 9-year-old going to clean himself up?
Yeah.
And mom and dad are going to come home and say, what happened to Michael?
Well,
and so unless it's taken care of, she was in charge. She's covering her ass.
My memory of it is this, and it's, you know, it's a many, many moons ago.
Yeah.
It's like 50 years ago. But the fact is, there's the fact is, and I said it again. I remembered being very skillful in the cleanup process because there's nothing that horrified me more at that particular time. I didn't want any
slippage
at all whatsoever. And I remember delicately balancing everything and being able to get it off without any further mess, but then hand the outside package, which may have gone to the trash or may have gone to the laundry, to my sister. And because I still had 1.5 skates, you know, one skate's half unlaced and the other skate laced, she took the skates off because I couldn't have gotten the pants off.
Yeah, it's true. And unless you use scissors.
You know what? Hold on. That's what she did. She helped me take my skates off, and then she told me to bring the mess down to the basement where the washer and dryer were, and that's where I brought my stuff. That's what. And I don't remember what
so
I did.
You were naked from the waist down when you brought the stuff down?
Donald Duck style.
I don't remember.
No pants.
Yeah, exactly. Sailor's hat.
I'll say this. You have to burn those clothes, in my opinion. There's nothing coming back from that.
Especially,
we didn't have a lot of money, Oscar.
And you know what? That's
we didn't. And there's nothing that Tide can't take care of.
Well, I was thinking, you know what? This was a half century ago. I'm thinking you went probably straight to the bleach.
I don't remember what the process was, but I know it was taken care of. And
Clorox.
Then I complained, and I remember that here was the triumph for me. The triumph for me was when my mom said to Kathy, you should have just let him go. You should have just let him go. Because I think my mom...
Like, let you
I
in?
I think it might have been my mom... The laundry was down there, and my mom might have discovered it.
Well,
no, she went down there. Let me see what's going on. Yeah, Kathy, Michael, you should have just let him go. I said, see?
And they're home from the... That's the last thing they want, coming home all lubed up from a cocktail party.
Right.
And they come into those pants.
Yeah, Kathy. But since that day, and this is important to point out, since that day, I've never been able to move my bowels successfully. So,
it's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomaraShow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
So you listen to me. Listen to me. Television is not the truth. Television is a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. So if you want the truth, go to God. Go to your gurus. Go to yourselves. Because that's the only place you're ever going to find any real truth.
But man, you're never going to get any truth from us. We'll tell you anything you want to hear. We lie like hell. We'll tell you that Kojak always gets the killer and that nobody ever gets cancer in Archie Bunker's house. And no matter how much trouble the hero is in, don't worry, just look at your watch. At the end of the hour, he's going to win. We'll tell you any shit you want to hear. We deal in illusions, man. None of it is true. But you people sit there day after day, night after night, all ages, colors, creeds. We're all you know. You're beginning to believe the illusions we're spinning here. You're beginning to think that the tube is reality and that your own lives are unreal. You do whatever the tube tells you. You dress like the tube. You eat like the tube. You raise your children like the tube. You even think like the tube. This is mass madness, you maniacs. In God's name, you people are the real thing. We are the illusion. So turn off your television sets. Turn them off now. Turn them off right now. Turn them off and leave them off. Turn them off right in the middle of a sentence I'm speaking to you now. Turn them off.
It's the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana, and now, from his office chair, here's Mike.
Is that Peter Finch?
That's when he dies at the end of Network. How long since you've actually watched the entire movie Network?
A long time, but you listen to that speech, and my God, is that appropriate today?
The weird thing is I watch it about every 6 or 8 months. It's one of my favorite movies, and it gets closer and closer to real life.
Yep.
Every time I watch it, sometimes twice a year, it makes a jump. It's crazy.
Very, very. That's a movie called Network. You can get that anywhere you want. That's an incredible speech. It really is, because you wonder about that. And you imagine hearing somebody do that today. Turn off your tubes right now in the middle of my sentence.
And what about just the old innate comedy of he dies and they go to that upbeat showbiz music?
We're in the border relieving business. There we go. Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show Bonus Hour. I hope you're enjoying our
preview.
We're really happy to have you with us today. Hope you're enjoying it because it's free. Some of you are getting this for the first time ever. Hope you really enjoy
it. You can get it on your app.
Yeah, it was a great parable, Mike. Yes. I love the parable.
You can get us on your app. What are you doing sitting there and getting us for free when you could be putting money into the Mike O'Mara Show bank account, you silly ass? I don't understand.
May I give some context?
Please.
I'm multitasking during the show.
Yes.
We had an issue with our push notifications earlier this week with our app.
With a Wide Open Wednesday.
Yeah, and how
it was very difficult. Todd Moore had to rebuild things.
Yes. You can't call if you don't know.
So yeah, we alert all of our listeners on our app that we're doing our
right to your phones, right?
Exactly.
Right
to your phones. As a courtesy, we do this.
Absolutely.
So there is a fire drill going on behind the scenes trying to figure out what's going on with this custom application.
Because it didn't allow you to send the push.
Yeah, it just kept on crashing, right? And having my wife write Todd. I'm writing Todd. Everybody's writing Todd. That's in our little circle here.
He's the main man when it comes to our app and how to figure out how it works.
There's a problem. Everyone writes Todd.
So what's going on now?
He writes, this is earlier in the day as we're recording here. He writes, apologize. Tech support does not open till 10 a.m. Mm-hmm. He's writing us that. And I know that he's seeing we're having a problem. Right?
I know. And that he is.
But luckily,
he's sitting there in his little empire.
Yeah.
The Wizard of Oz.
Do you remember when we used to call that crazy psychic Dr. James Capers and he'd pretend to be his own receptionist?
Yes.
It's Hello. The same thing.
Hello. He's like, same voice.
Dr. Capers will be with you in a moment. Please hold.
I love that.
But he is rebuilding.
Good.
He's rebuilding. We will have something.
I have to say that Oscar sounds rather coherent today.
He does. Right? He does. Almost like
we're taping
Oscar.
Two today, so it's later in the, taping in the
two.
Broadcast day.
Mm.
And it seems to get sharper. Now, Rob, I asked you to do some vocal analysis to
yes.
early days of Oscar mm-hmm. and post back problem Oscar.
Yes, please. Yes. Oh, yeah. Doogie Howser is great.
Time to break out taped evidence of how Oscar used to sound and how he sounds now and to see
Broken.
Whether there is indeed a
like Matt Hardy.
Yeah. Well,
before
we have
banged my ex-girlfriend.
We have. Wow. I don't know. You've revealed a name before.
Oh, I think I've said that before.
OK. Right. We
no,
have
fact.
Over nearly
it's in my Wikipedia.
If you go and include bonus shows, we have over 2000 shows on which to call upon. So I wanted to have a
I thought we hadn't had our 2000.
No, I said if you include bonus. If you include bonus, we've recorded
when's
over
our technical free show.
It'll be next month.
Yeah, we've actually been talking about a promotion for that.
Show number 2.
Yeah. Oh, I am going to wear a dress that will
fabulous.
Blow you out of the water.
Something with flowers.
No, it'll be fantastic and I'll eat a raw fish.
A print.
Always.
I'll do something special.
That's the tradition, isn't it?
Yes, wear a dress, eat a raw fish. That's it. So what did you do with Oscar's voice?
I went back. Oscar's voice. I went back exactly 1 year because I thought that would be a very good representative sample.
When I was healthy.
Yes, and so I went to March 9th, 2017.
Preview.
Oh, you're doing preview. The thing like when a radio has station has an exclusive record?
Preview.
You got to drop it over.
Waxy
so another station can play. That's right. 99 PLJ.
Come on. Now, you
so here is Oscar.
Word, boy.
Here is Oscar from March 9th, 2017, a tape that is labeled Big Deal. This is classic Oscar.
If you don't make a big deal about your birthday, you can't be disappointed. Oh, I sound so great.
Doesn't he sound good?
Damn.
What year was that?
That's 2017. That's one
Last
calendar
year
ago. From the sample. So let's hear that
again. Hear it one
if
more
you don't make a big deal about your birthday, you can't be disappointed. Man.
Hit his T's hard, hit his D right. Let's
really?
Do another
almost,
one.
Almost overdid the
dictation.
Disappointed.
Yeah. So let's move forward almost a year to February 13th, 2018.
Post-injury.
This is a tape called Live in the Now.
Live in the Now.
Oh, my God.
So we go from...
If you don't make a big deal about your birthday, you can't be disappointed.
To...
Live in the now. I'm Rush. I'm so Rush.
What?
I'm
do you have any other,
shopping.
Is that all you have?
Oh,
please
no,
tell
no.
me that's
oh,
not
no,
all
there's
have.
Plenty. Let's
we
go back.
Oh, my God.
This is classic Oscar. 1 year ago, a tape called Blown By.
You're show's right. blowing yeah, by.
Right. Okay. He's just, you know, he sounds nice into it. Very enthusiastic.
You're show's right. blowing yeah, by.
Right. And then we go to... A year later, this is called Married Daughter.
I see your daughter got married in Washington, D.C.
Oh,
a couple of years
my
ago.
God.
We're a big show in D.C. And, you know, this would be perfect for her and her family if they lived in the D.C. area.
See, what I hear...
You guys should have sent me to rehab.
And I listened to it very carefully.
Promises.
It's not just a slowing of the diction. There's more of this going on, like he's forcing to find the words.
Right.
Hey,
all right.
How about you guys
break
your backs
always,
and fight it?
I always like more. Do you have more?
Mike, there's plenty.
Okay, plenty. Good. Because I want to get... I'm waiting for the definitive...
I thought...
Yes.
The two were definitive.
I can notice a little bit, but I just
want to
Well,
what we
got to
do is we got to find trends. All right. Classic All right. Oscar talking about chicken.
So. It is?
Yeah.
I've been calling it Cho when I was a kid, and someone yelled at me and said, no, it's So's. And I'm like, oh.
General Cho's chicken.
Now, that sounds a little slurry, and that's from a year ago.
That's
right?
from a year ago. Let's hear that again.
So. It is?
Yeah.
I've been calling it Cho when I was a kid, and someone yelled at me and said, no, it's So's.
Let me stop. That's the first example I'm going to give you of maybe I'm overreacting.
All right.
Because that's the way he sounded, and that might be just the way he rolls, and I'm being honest here, because I am listening to this like you would not believe right now.
And I wasn't trying to stack the deck against him.
No,
I was doing this honestly.
But that's kind of... He kind of does that.
An intervention is an intervention.
That's true.
You might not need one after this is over. All right, go ahead.
Okay,
let me hear
here's Oscar from February 23rd, 2018.
Ah,
the reality of the situation is.
One more time.
The reality of the situation is.
Now, that is something that needs to be considered, not at its
vocal
quality.
Is that one of my verbal crutches, the reality of the situation?
No, I think that was actually when we were discussing your verbal crutch and you were trying out new ones.
Ah, gotcha. Okay.
But what we need to examine here is...
Not as paranoid as I used to be.
Not his vocal quality or his slurring, but the choice of making that noise at that time means that he's lowered his guard a bit.
Ah.
The reality of the situation is... All right, I want another one. I want more. More. What's
here's
next?
Classic Oscar, 1 year ago.
It's by the bonus show.
He sounds so depressed.
Back to
what does it feel like to fail, Pony?
Oh. Hey, that's great.
Yeah, it's nice. And in a similar vein, here he is talking a year later about his neighbor with the flu.
My neighbor on the corner that I used to take care of her dog when she was out of town.
Oh, my God.
I can't even take care of her dog because she's so sick. Like, she's so sick that I feel like one of her sons comes by every day to make sure she's okay.
Yeah, he feels like that.
Yeah, I sound sick. And I
then
sound nasal.
And then he says,
the reality of the situation is, all right, it may not be as... dramatic as I thought.
No, but there is evidence. A case could be made.
I'll say this. I need a week off. I need to get my mind right because I want to sound like 2017 Oscar.
You want to sound like this?
I will send you a piece of my house. Signed.
Yeah, right.
It could be wood from the 1840s. It could be a bolt.
Yeah, or do you want to sound like...
Wait. So you're steamrolling through this. And yeah, I know. Yeah. It's because it's like a homework assignment for you. So just slow down
a little bit. Let's take a breath.
Well, to be honest, I mean, you know, how much time do you spend on just kidding. No, just kidding. I want better examples, to be honest with you. But that's okay. I'll take what I can get. I asked for it. You gave it to me. That was a year ago, correct? You didn't say that. Was that a year ago?
That was a year ago. And I did say that.
Play that one again. Let's listen to that.
I will send you a piece of my house. Signed.
Yeah.
All right.
It could be wood from the 1840s.
That is the clearest I've heard you. That is diction, flawless diction, no evidence of any narcotics.
Yes.
Right.
So what do we have as counterpoint?
We can counterpoint that with a year later when he says this.
I don't want to
please help
the shot.
Me a little bit.
I don't
want
to ruin the shot. I mean, the show.
I'm talking then.
But you have to listen to him, focus on him in the moment, because another problem when they're doing these is that his timing is also off. So take that into consideration case study. All right. Is the fact that he's talking over you and he can't say ruin the show.
I don't want to ruin the shot. I mean, the show.
Thank you.
So there is problem there. Now,
that's a bad one right there.
That is a bad example. I mean, it's a good example of how bad he was.
Yeah. I need isolated Oscar. But that's, maybe we haven't given a lot of isolated Oscar during this time because we're compensating.
Perhaps. We're trying to prop him up.
And you guys always cut me off. Always. Mm.
Except just that. The reality of the situation is.
What day is that from?
That is from... February 23rd, 2018. Mm. Mm-hmm. I think he had taken a muscle relaxer that day.
I'll isolate that with no one else talking.
Oh, I think that would be good. I think that would be nice.
Filter that out.
Are there any other examples?
Of course. Here's classic Oscar. This one is called Laugh.
She is. She's a server.
She would know what it sounds like.
See, energetic, happy with it.
I'm in.
Exactly. And here he is a year later. This one is called Distributor.
Okay. So, in the drug world, he's got a different distributor now.
Oh. Distributor.
By the way.
Yeah. That's a problem. That's a definite problem.
See, maybe the muscle relaxer would have had him say distributor, but he was a distributor. Right.
Okay.
All right. Here's one called Sugar Glider. This is youthful, healthy Oscar.
A little piece of hair from your sugar glider. Just pull him out with tweezers.
No, we're not.
Nice diction on that. Sugar glider.
He did,
tweezer.
No, he did. No, listen to it. He slurred sugar glider.
All right, let's hear it again.
A little piece of hair from your sugar glider. Just pull him out with
sugar.
Sugar glider.
I think that was okay.
Sugar.
But he slurred it.
Shannon in the morning.
Are you listening to the same tape I'm listening to? That he slurred that part. He slurred. I'm thinking
Mike, you don't
this
have
is
mean
proving,
about this.
This is proving that maybe he sounds like this all. I don't know.
But there are instances. I think it's not
a good experiment.
It's not as dramatic as
not
you
happy.
Felt. You're displeased?
I'm displeased with myself. I'm displeased because I realize that maybe
you care
I am
too
overreacting
much.
To his slurred speech.
Yes.
That it's not as dramatic, that's the way he talks. I'm just focusing on it, and that's making me very frustrated.
No, that's painful to me because that means that I am a failed broadcaster from the get-go.
Well, but at least it doesn't mean that you're in need of going to the Betty Ford Clinic right now.
And if I go anywhere, it's promises.
Yeah, we'll keep him. Let's, or we can keep him local. Isn't there something local we could send him to?
Do you
to?
Have another example of it?
Let's go as recent as this is the 12th of March.
Malibu or bust.
Which I believe is Monday's show
yes.
of this week. Here's Oscar on Monday.
You always should be vigilant,
All
Mike.
I care about, what's that?
Vigilant. Yeah. Should always be vigilant.
Vigilant.
Vigilant. That's a word.
Now let's go back to one of our previous examples where he was sounding better.
If you don't make a big deal about your birthday, you can't be disappointed.
See? On the money, and then when he's on right. vigilant.
Always should be vigilant,
All
Mike.
I care about, what's that?
Vigilant. Yeah. Should always be vigilant.
And I believe there is another factor there, and it's many things. This is a cocktail. This is a salad
right.
with all individual ingredients. There's diction. There's timing. There he is self-aware.
Narcotics.
You're catching yourself.
Yes, I'm like,
you're
wait a second.
Absolutely catching yourself.
Vigilant.
Let's hear him from last week.
You know what my son, can I just jump in? My
please.
4-year-old says batak.
And like if batak. Someone attacks somebody?
Yes, I bataked him, Daddy. I bataked him. That's kind of like
he's already fighting.
When Robert started video games, he would what this is not a mispronunciation, but it drove me crazy. He would get with his friends. He says, I want to verse you at that. And I say, what? Huh? He said, right. You know, Robert versus Adam. I want to verse him at that.
I want to verse you.
I want to verse you. All right.
I want to verse you.
Here is Oscar last week talking about a golf shirt.
You give a guy a golf shirt and he gets mouthy.
What did he yell at me for? Play that one again.
Okay.
I'm sending my letter of resignation.
No, no, no. I will not accept it. Golf shirt.
You give a guy a golf shirt and he gets
that okay. Right mouthy there. Yelled Stop me. Right there.
And by the
that's,
way, I didn't
that's
compress.
That's Anna Nicole f***ing Smith right there. That's it.
Like
because
my body.
I was because he said the best was my
body.
play and that also, one more time. That is an Anna. Hold on. Play that one more time. That is an Anna Nicole moment. Listen okay, to this one.
You give a guy a golf shirt and he gets mouthy.
What did he yell at me for, man? Golf shirt.
The magic of that is that pause was neither tightened nor lengthened. That's
right,
a real
no more
life pause.
Examples of the old Oscar, correct?
No, I do. Here is okay, Oscar. This right. one is called Younger. This is from a calendar year ago. This?
You look younger. I want him to say you look older, but you don't. Okay,
that's
fine.
So
that's fine.
Clear.
It's
fine.
Very
so
clear
and clear. Yeah. And then you got golf shirt.
Yeah, now let's hear golf shirt again. That's a winner.
You give a guy a golf shirt, and he gets. Mouthy.
What did he yell at me for? All right, that's it. That's it. The experiment is over. I think we've gone far enough with this. Now let's put the verdict in here and find out what everybody thinks. Rob, what is your analysis? What is your opinion?
I listened to a lot of tape to isolate this stuff, old and new.
Old and new.
And what I saw is a degradation. However, I don't think he's useless. I think he's still useful, but I have seen a degradation. And when he's on pills, I think we have a good example of him today.
But for
Tony, you're going to get your chance to speak.
Okay.
You're going to get your chance because we're going to you last.
But I do think that
you're the person that's you know
his impact. Voice is a little more forced now. Like he's pushing it a little more.
Like he's trying to get the words out.
Yeah, and also the timing is dead on as long as you're clean.
Yes.
But the timing
clean.
Yeah.
Like I have a drug issue.
Well, no. I mean, we heard issues where you were on muscle relaxers here, and it's like you know, even in the 70s, Elvis had a few good shows, and that's what we need to hope for. Our
Pony
days
boy,
that he has good shows.
And we'll get to you, Oscar. We will get to you, Pony. What is you listen to it? What's your opinion of it?
You know, I think it is a little bit worse, but at the same time, I'm thinking it's great for the show. So I feel really bad because it's like he's kind of declining, but at the same time, it's like
declining.
This is good stuff.
Performance.
You know? Yeah, exactly.
Everybody
exactly.
wants to watch a train wreck.
Yeah. Exactly.
Gotcha. Yeah, wasn't right. Belushi great in the Blues Brothers, even though he
my
was dead 2 years later?
My assessment is, I think perhaps because I've been dwelling on it, that I may have dwelled on it a little too much.
Right.
And he sounded that way in years past where he'd just have some words. But I also think that there are some pretty glaring examples there.
Yes.
And I think it's something you need to at least be aware of. I completely agree.
I actually sent you guys a text. It was a group text. Go ahead and read it, Mike, if you'd like.
Let me go into my text right now and see what it says.
And while you're
here.
Looking for that, I'd like to suggest a new uniform for all of us to wear during the show. Golf shirt.
You give a guy a golf shirt and he gets
Oscar writes, I'm sorry, I quit. I'm not worthy like my body.
See, that's not like what we're shooting for. We were shooting for helping you.
Like my body.
Yeah. Like my body.
All right, what is the current status? You said to me when you came in today that your back hurt. What is going on?
Yeah, but I don't have any refills of narcotics. Okay. It's just in pain.
So you're not taking anything.
And you were never on narcotics, to be fair.
No. I was on muscle relaxers.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So you're not taking any muscle relaxers.
No, I've got none left. I have one refill in the can that I have not refilled.
Saving it for spring break.
Yeah, spring break forever.
He sounds pretty good today.
He does.
But it's late in the day, and I think he needs to wake up.
Late in the day? It's 11:27 when we're recording this. It's early.
Well, I think, you think that's early. You're scheduled that. It's early for me. It's late in the day. This is like old man Cocoonville time. It's like 5 o'clock. It's like cocktail hour.
I'm starting to think about dinner.
Look at it. Yeah.
You guys are dicks.
It's fun. The third sin. We'll keep an eye on you.
I never was able to talk.
No, you are always able to talk. But it's also there were several. I think that once you're off pills, you're not too far gone.
Okay, but let's
the very
clarify.
Fact that we're discussing it means you have a problem.
The pizza that he did on the old Big Owen, Owen Duke show.
Well, I had to learn how to say pizza.
Right. This has been around for a while. It just was something that I think that I feel better after this experiment than
good.
I felt before. So that's it. That we don't need to dwell on that.
All right.
No HR.
Let's move on. Rob Spiewak's got a list of stuff for our bonus show. And by the way, I hope you're enjoying the preview.
Well, if he can talk, I'd like to ask Oscar about this, because Oscar doubled down a few weeks ago and said that the new Amazon headquarters is going to be here in Washington, D.C.
Oh, yeah.
And that's going to be a huge boon, because now we'll finally have some traffic in the city. And also, it's going to bring a lot of finances. And also, the eyes of the world will be on D.C. because of Amazon being here. Now, something in...
Why do they have a retail store?
Yeah, they're opening a retail store where the old Barnes & Noble
was. Have a handful of these across the country, and they're essentially scaling up. They're taking over the world. They bought Whole Foods, right? So that's another retail brick and mortar where you walk into your Amazon bookstore, you buy electronics as well. Mm-hmm. If you walk into the Whole Foods now, you see Echoes everywhere where you can buy them at Whole Foods. So it's part of
Is this going to be for the rube that wants to... That can't be completely satisfied with looking at something online, that wants to actually look at a product? Or is this a store where they're selling
Barnes & Noble
stuff?
Yep.
They sell their own products, and they sell the books, and they also can use them as a footprint to pick up your goods, especially if you live
the Amazon locker
in
thing?
In an old neighborhood like Georgetown, where most people don't have a garage or a stoop. They just have a door in their home.
So you can pick up something you order. Yeah.
Is this going to be expanded to on every corner eventually?
I think they'll have them in major markets across the country.
I want to ask you a question as a business-minded guy.
Yes.
Is it more of like almost like a publicity stunt, like a billboard for Amazon?
No.
The fact that it exists in a town like... Because Georgetown is like the hoity-toity part of Washington, D.C. for people who don't know. And to have a huge office space like this, this is expensive. This was a Barnes & Noble on Wisconsin Avenue.
God, I hope Amazon can afford it, Rob.
Yes.
After last Christmas, they probably can.
I think a lot of factors went into play. A is that he has a home here, Jeff Bezos, who is the owner and founder of Amazon. He has a home right up the street.
And he owns the Post, right?
Yeah, so he owns the Washington Post.
Democracy dies in the dark, Mike.
Yes, Mike, don't forget that.
The odds are that they're going to bring the headquarters to D.C.
That's what we mentioned, I want to say, about a month ago. It just, they're all adding up to say he wants to see how his store works. Mm-hmm. If you're a good boss, you want to see how everybody's working out in your brick and mortars. If you have another business, you want to be able to run that one inside a space where you have a home already. If you want to create influence in the city, and if you really want to work on moving the meter so one day the hammer doesn't come down on Amazon and say that they're some sort of monopoly,
right?
You want to be here to fight that good fight.
It would seem to me, though, the retail outlet would be contrary to everything that they were formulated for. That everything that they were based on was they were the gold standard, and still are the gold standard of online commerce.
Yeah, but think about this.
You never have to leave your house, right?
Think about this.
Yes, I will.
thank you. the logic is sound. What you're saying is absolutely correct. But if they have saturated the market for online commerce,
which they own, essentially.
Which they own, essentially, right?
Right.
And their only competitor is a Walmart, which is reverse, which is you have a location and their online store. The only factor they don't have is a brick and mortar where people, they can actually capture that marketplace.
So they're
as
just
well.
Trying to cover all their bases.
Yes.
But
that's really what they're doing.
Yeah.
They're doing it in a jackass way. And I don't like this. None of the stuff in the store has a price on it.
Mm.
You have to actually scan it and use the Amazon app to know what the price is. Before you Which buy it.
Am I the only one that feels maybe a little conjured?
No.
Here?
Oh, I conjured. No, that's absolutely conjured.
It's for the same reason he doesn't like the self-checkout, which is the easiest thing in the world to do.
But self-checkout, even in
Rubes.
Its best situation, is a pain in the ass. Self-checkout, out of 10 times you go through self-checkout, you will have one time
you
where
get, you
there's
get,
something happening.
Mike, it's the reps. It's like working out. If you go through,
no wonder I hate it.
You're not going to make this lazy on me because I'm a regular user of self-checkout.
Self-checkout across the street at CVS. When I first went through it, you'll probably find a show that says, I hate it. It's the worst thing ever, right? Now, I actually take pride in hearing the Rubes go, and I'm like, I'm done.
Because you know the system.
I am
done. And I will be honest.
I'm in and out.
They have people at my local Mart. The next door, the world's largest convenience store, the Walmart next door to our community in Cocoonville, they populate the self-checkout monitors that are in there. These individuals collectively weigh, I think, 40,000 pounds. I truly do believe that the people they have there. And it's not necessarily me as much as it's just waiting to get to self-checkout because everybody is mouth agape, staring at these computer screens. So I'm telling you, I get it. I know that self-checkout can work. I'm just saying it's not perfected yet. Just like it's not perfected to put a credit card with a chip into the little f***ing machine because we don't take the chip. We'll slide, you know. Get it together. Fix one or the other.
Make do what
it universal.
I do. When you get to a store and you see a clerk, you say, are we chipping today?
And by the way, while I'm being an American and whining about like incredible advances in technology,
yes. Right.
Let me say, where's that flying car you promised me?
Yeah.
You know what? And Elon Musk, excuse me, would it kill you to bury that tube that we can all go from city to city in?
Please.
And by next week, can you get that done, please? Do they teach you that here?
And when we buy our bullet train tickets, are we chipping today or are we scanning?
We'll never get the bullet train.
We're never going to get the bullet train.
It's never going to happen.
This may ruin the bonus show. Bonus preview.
Preview.
Preview bonus. Bonus free.
Adrian Garcia. Yeah. A hotel year in his own world, right? Yeah,
okay. Is he going to participate in this show?
He has some inside information on Amazon.
Oh, and I'd like to introduce him if possible, Mike.
Please.
Okay, here we go.
Hi, Mike.
Okay. That's great.
This is your favorite Adrian.
Okay, Adrian Garcia. Hello, Adrian.
Hello, Mike. So I do have some inside skinny about the whole Amazon deal. I have a regular guest at the hotel who works for Amazon, and he said it's between two cities, Washington, D.C. and Toronto, and he said the main reason was because of the international airports.
That makes sense because you've got Dulles Airport. I don't think they're going to use Reagan. And Toronto is a super modern city too. And Canada, perhaps a better trade environment. It would seem to me, if he's saying, you know what? If he's saying to you it's between Toronto and Washington, D.C., it's going to be D.C. Jeff Bezos is not going to put his company in another country. It's not going to happen.
However,
that just
always buy American.
Yeah.
Right.
But how about this? If he's going to be using the international airport, could he put the HQ in Loudoun County so he's closer to the airport? Does he benefit
Loudoun County blows.
I know. I live there.
Well, what do you hear?
You need to tell me about it.
What do you boys hear about the destination for Amazon in the D.C. area? Where would he put
Amazon
it?
Is already in Loudoun County because they have their AWS, Amazon Web Services. They have their cloud services. The majority of them are already there.
You
right?
can take in that Loudoun tone County. And you're not going to make me feel like an idiot. I know that's what you're trying
I'm
to do.
I'm not.
Rob Loudoun County.
Did you know that?
I did not, but it doesn't affect
you
me.
You live in Loudoun County. How come you didn't know that?
You call this living?
So do you think that in Rob's backyard, they would put Amazon?
The perfect scenario, and this is, I've been reading a lot about this because it fascinates me, right?
Good for you.
All right. It's National Pie Day.
Yeah, it is.
You really are.
Can't wait for National Asshole Day.
I think the majority of people that are in the know outside of Garcia is
Nikki Diamond.
Yeah, and Nikki Diamond say that it's a perfect scenario to narrow down the top 20 cities,
sure,
and have three of them be Maryland, DC, and Virginia, because you can just tell Maryland, D.C., and Virginia to work together to give them the best tax incentive come together, right?
We'll wait and see.
Yes.
And,
if you have three cities, major metropolitan cities, technically, fight for that business or come together to give the largest tax incentive.
Amazon stands to benefit.
They win.
Of course.
Well, for our D.C. listeners, especially those of you that might be enjoying the preview, I want to say that I really, really hope it comes to D.C. I think that would be... Absolutely. How would you feel? You guys aren't affected by it. How would you feel if it did come to Washington, D.C.?
Well, I've always it would make me happy because I've lived in this area my entire life, and I always felt that D.C. never felt like a real city because no one really lives in D.C. except for Oscar. And, you know, people go there and they work there, but then they go to the burbs.
Right.
And that's our anchor city. I think it would give our city a certain amount of credibility.
No one you know lives in D.C. except for Oscar.
Okay.
Besides, Oscar could actually drive right. What was that? Excuse me. Did I do that? What was that?
I heard it sounded like a clicking.
Take your skates off before you come in, Mike.
Was that your tummy? Did you have chili for lunch?
I was like, bring it. No, come on. I didn't touch anything. What happened? Did anything?
I'm not connected. I have no audio source.
Nobody touched anything.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know what happened. Anyway, if they come to D.C., Oscar can go over there and ask for our money.
Give us our money.
That's the way I do it.
That Bolivian's at the door again.
He says the link was broken.
Do you want Rock and Roller's Big Breaks, Ponies Sexy Japan, Tooth Fairy Economic Trends, or the 1983 Radio C-SPAN piece with bonus audio?
Dealer's choice.
I would like to go with the Tooth Fairy because I have questions because your son is almost of an age where he's going to start losing teeth.
Yeah.
And not just because
he's going to lose them fast if he doesn't mind his P's and Q's.
And not just
that's right, boy. He's
like, hey, little Michael. Save
that was my favorite
dad.
Dana Carvey.
Why, in my day.
Oh, yeah, the angry old man.
Anyway, yeah, the old man. My day, we walked to school 43 miles with spikes in our shoes. Anyway.
And we were happy.
And we were happy about it. What do you have for us with the economic trends as far as getting a payout for teeth under the pillow?
Now, I am curious because we have an international representation in studio today. We have Italy represented. We have Bolivia represented.
See.
We have the United States represented.
Yeah, but you don't even know if in Italy or Bolivia, if that is a tradition.
That's what
that
I was going
to
ask.
When a tooth falls out, that you put it under the pillow. I'd like to know.
I would like to know. For example, Mr. Andrea, is there a tooth fairy tradition in Italy?
Not for me, no.
Not for him.
No, okay.
Not for him.
And is there anything close to anything at all when you're a kid and you start losing your teeth?
As far as like the tooth fairy is concerned?
Yes, yeah, like you get
any
money.
Tradition at all, like a rite of passage or anything
no,
like that?
No, when I lost my teeth, I was happy that I lost my teeth and I lived my life that way.
You know what feels great about that answer is, doesn't it make all of us feel like we have to have amusement and diversion
sure.
in soft America?
Yeah.
It's like, we lost a tooth, so we get to put it on a pillow and get a quarter.
Duh.
Yeah, no wonder we're the way we are, right? Yeah. All right, anyway, go ahead.
Well, they've done a study, and the amount of money left by the tooth fairy is actually sort of in tandem with the way the economy is. And,
by the way, we didn't ask Oscar about Bolivia, but I knew the answer to that. They just string them all together and they make jewelry out of them and then sell them on the major city streets with a pan flute.
Wow. You know, I didn't know that.
I can't beat that. He's absolutely right. The whiter ones cost more.
Yeah.
You can have the poncho or the necklace out of my son's teeth.
My son's teeth.
My baby. My son's teeth. Yeah.
And don't they scare away the evil spirits?
Yes. La bruja.
I've actually painted them in different colors. They are for you. You will enjoy these. Yes,
so last season
with lead paint, Mike. It was cheaper.
Yeah. The paint is lead. It will last forever.
That is why the teeth fell out. The lead paint.
The chips.
The 2017.
I was crunching on. The tooth came off.
Here are your teeth necklace, the Oscar baby teeth necklace.
Go pick the wall, son.
Thank you very much.
Look at that blue. It's perfect.
Take your fingernail, scrape that wall, and then put it into the cup, and we will take it home, put water in it, and make new paint. And then we will paint your teeth with it and sell it in America.
That's it. So sad. So much poverty.
Okay. As we know, 2017, not a great economic year, and it was reflected by the Tooth Fairy. Tooth Fairy money went down 11% per tooth in calendar year 2017.
I think this is a conjuring thing. I think it's been a quarter forever or a dollar. That's it. It's a quarter.
It shifted with Robert.
Well, what did you pay? Did you give your kids money for teeth?
$5 for Robert by the time he was done.
$5?
That's where we were.
Oh, my God.
Right. Yeah, it's true, though. Yeah. So, I mean, I think that is probably where people are at. But also, I've heard parents do, like, the Tooth Fairy left you a toothbrush or a small toy or something like that. And then there was also, Carrie was big on writing letters or notes, like, brushing your teeth.
Now let me ask you this. Yeah. As parents of the year,
yeah,
which both of you are,
yeah,
I mean, nobody loves their kids more. It's fan. And by the way, with my older children, I was perhaps the absentee dad.
Right.
Not even the perhaps part. I was.
But you could have snuck in at night. Like the Tooth Fairy.
ex-wife's house? Yeah,
restraining.
Yeah, that's why you have to be
a problem.
No, it's $5?
Mike, I quote this study right now. According to the Tooth Fairy Poll Tooth Fairy Index, which has been in place since, I believe, 1998.
Oh, good for that.
According to the index, roughly $450 per tooth was paid out in 2016. That is the national average, $450 a tooth.
A fin? Yep. I gotta put a Lincoln under the pillow
in 2017.
A spit blower? Oh, come on!
I remember because I grew up in the States, right?
Yes.
The first time that I asked for money for my tooth.
Yeah.
My dad looked at me like I was crazy, and I said, "All the kids at school get money when the Tooth Fairy comes," and I remember him being disgusted by that fact that you get paid to actually just evolve and grow up.
Right.
Right.
To mature.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he just said, no fairy here, in whatever Spanish, you know, flip
like,
way.
Like, screw that. Yeah, you lost your tooth. It's a rite of passage. It's what normal people. It's like what Andrea said. Yeah. You know, my teeth fell out. I was happy. They fell out. And I moved on to my master's degree.
Otherwise, it would be rows and rows of teeth like a great white shark.
I think my dad was, he was probably more worried about the braces. He's like, well, we're going to get those braces soon. That's going to happen.
That's true.
Man, a $5 bill. I didn't know that. I'm not sure whether I would pony that. I like the idea of like a quarter.
Letter? A letter seems like so much work. Who has the time?
Carrie has lots of time.
What would the letter say?
Fare thee well, Tooth.
She said it would be like, dear Robert, you know your father does much less than your mother in this household.
She'd really write them a letter?
Yeah, she would be like, it would always be like, glad that you're doing well. Thank you so much. We love you, the Tooth Fairy. Something simple like that. There was a panicked year, 1 year where Julia lost a tooth and then literally lost it. Couldn't find it in the house.
Right.
And so Julia is like 3 or 3.5. And she's like, Tooth Fairy.
She lost her teeth at 3.5?
Or she was youngish. So I think like 4, maybe. I don't know. Yeah, I don't
my
know.
My kid's these 4.5. He's got one loose one right now.
And as she was so panicked, she says, and she looked at me, she says, Dad, Tooth Fairy won't come if I can't present the tooth. And I was like, you don't really need evidence. The Tooth Fairy knows what's going on. I said, let's leave the Tooth Fairy a note and see what happens.
You know, down here in Cape Coral, Florida, where the adults lose their teeth, they all get gift certificates for meth. And they're falling out all the time. Full size molars.
With the root still in them?
With a bloody root. You know, you get an extra gift certificate for the meth with that one. I just think this is passed me by. I remember Elizabeth.
Yeah.
She was freaked out about the tooth, and I extracted the tooth for her because it was literally hanging there. And I remember.
Did you ever do the doorknob on the string thing?
I didn't do the doorknob, but I distracted her, and I said, well, I think if. And I pulled it right there.
Oh,
and it was gone.
Oh.
Now, hold on. She didn't even feel it.
Oh,
and
great.
She was so thrilled because I got it. And Elizabeth was freaked out about rocking it back and forth.
Yeah.
And he's like, Daddy, no, Daddy. And I said, let me just, I'm not going to touch it. I'm not going to, I just want to, and then I grabbed it like that and knocked it out. And I don't know what my son will be like, but I think that $5 seems, I guess it's the national average.
Well, it's, if you go for the, actually, 413 was the index in 2017. It went down because of the economy, and they break it down by regions of the country.
All right, now let me just give you this.
Okay.
With that survey.
Right.
413. Is this a statistical thing? Because is a parent really going to say, what's the national average, honey? And count change out?
Well, no, because it's the arithmetic mean.
Based on the people that might be giving a dollar or something.
Exactly. It's based that way. And it breaks down by region, too. The West, Western states averaged 485 per tooth, 435 in the Northeast, 412 in the
South. New Englanders. frugal New Englanders there.
And in the Midwestern states, Mike, only $3.44. That's They're, all. Just $3.
I live with them down here.
Tight
I
as a drum, right?
Tighter than tight can be. All from Scotland. They are all.
Scotland by way of Indiana?
You crap. I live in Fort Wayne, Indiana. You're not going to get more than $2 for a tooth, you little shit. That's the way that's going to roll down here. I think the letter is sweet, but do you know what Carla does for my son?
What's that?
She puts a little note in his lunch every day that mommy and daddy love you, or a little have a nice day with a little
that's
heart.
That's cool.
And she does that every single day. I think that's very, very sweet.
I remember the one tooth that I remember
daddy
losing. Daddy said, yeah, same note that the tooth fairy left for Julia.
Yeah, same note that you got with the tooth fairy.
That's I remember great. Losing one tooth in school, and I lost it in a Rice Krispie treat. I took the Rice Krispie treat out of my mouth and the tooth was jammed in it.
Oh, wow.
So it was.
That's the best way to go.
It was a pretty flip.
My brother pulled out one of my baby teeth with a piece of string like you would see on any movie or cartoon.
Oh, like a Three Stooges extraction.
Yeah, he did that.
Did he do it with the door or did he just yank it with the string?
Oh, no. He just yanked it. He said one and then he did it on two. And it was my older brother who, is 4 years older than me.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, and I just start crying, bleeding everywhere. And
oh, he's a doctor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now.
Well, now he is. But I remember sitting there, like, why would you do that to me? And I was all gums.
Yeah, that's how my doctor, Mike, removed my toenails when they turned to blue.
Chad Ram, in my neighborhood, Chad Ram actually told me he was going to help me with my tooth because it was loose. But he took nylon rope and tied it around my neck and then tied the back to the back of his father's sports car.
And, Chad Ram.
You were able to keep up for a little bit, weren't you?
Down the driveway. All right, before we get out of here, what do you want to wrap up, Rob? Because we only got a couple of minutes left.
Preview.
We have just enough time for this. This is fun. These are rock and rollers that you know before you knew them.
Mm.
And I'd like for you to guess the lead singer of this band. They were called Attila. Their song was called Wonder Woman.
That's Geddy Lee.
It's not.
It's not.
Cher.
It's not Cher.
Axl Rose.
No. You got to think a little older than Axl and a little newer than Geddy.
Would that be Ann Wilson of Heart?
No, but he'll be pleased to know you guessed that.
0 for 3. It's a guy.
It is a guy. I'll give you it. He's got a residency at Madison Square Garden.
Oh, my God.
That's Billy Joel's first record.
Wow.
Hold on. That's Billy Joel?
Yep.
That sounds like it's the vocal
different record. Genre.
Yeah. But I can
guess,
hear it.
Okay. I guess now you hear it. Yeah.
It's a pretty good crowd for a Saturday.
Wow. That got me. All right. What's the next one?
All right. This that. Next That's one great. Is actually, I will reveal it in advance because you won't be able to guess because they're instruments. But did you know that before they were solo stars, Neil Young and Rick James both played for the Motown label?
Mm.
And this is a record they both played on. It's by a band called the Minor Birds.
Neil Young, Motown?
Signed at Motown, yeah. He was, because they had a couple white artists. Rare Earth was a white band.
By the river.
So Neil Young and Rick James are playing on this. This is called It's My Town by the Minor Birds. It's my town. But it's such a Motown sound.
That's Rick James in the background.
Yeah. Gonna love you anyway, every day. Gives you an idea of how long they've been around, though. Now, this last one is a guessing
Southern
game.
Man.
What?
This one is a guessing game. This goes back to 1966. I personally know you like this vocalist. His band was called The Chain Reaction, and it's called The Sun. Comes once a day through the shade of my
Can you give me a hint?
A 70s band primarily, but had a big resurgence in the 80s.
Heart.
It's a good guess, but it's a guy.
Is it Peter Frampton?
No, this is Steven Tyler, the lead singer of Aerosmith in 1966.
That is Steven Tyler?
Yes, isn't that great?
God, it sounds like the Grassroots.
I know. Well, what's so funny about all three of these is that put in their context of history, the records make sense because
wow,
that's the genre of the time.
Yes.
But this is not Dude Looks Like a Lady, not by a long shot.
Wow.
It's, you know what it is? I think I'm blown away by the way, because most of this music I didn't know. Either I wasn't born
right,
or I just didn't know about because I grew up in a Latin household. But the idea that someone could take their talent and they could apply it to the time of, and framework and what was popular of that time.
Yeah, I mean, they just fit in. They
do
fit
in. It's crazy.
Yeah, so I thought that was pretty cool. And the last one I have, Mike, this is an early tape of Buddy Rich before he drummed. Here's Buddy Rich on his first recording.
You give a guy a golf shirt and he gets mouthy.
What did he yell at me for, man? It's Oscar slurring.
Stars before they were stars.
Stars,
so there you go.
Yeah. Yeah, how much you pay for that guy for his tooth? Right? Hey, thank you for enjoying our preview. I certainly hope you slackers that haven't subscribed to the bonus show will now. And we hope you enjoyed this free opportunity of the preview thing. Preview.
Remember, Mike, click that banner in a furious manner.
Yes, thank you. That's it. We got to get out of here, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for all our subscribers, our P1s. We love you. For those of you that just visited, subscribe today. You owe us now. For Oscar Santana, Rob Spiewak, Michael Mara saying, we'll see you next time. So long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Hey, I just wanted to take this time out to say thank you to all the people who purchase our bonus content. The Mike O'Mara Show bonus hours are a little extra something we do for you each and every week. And those that support us by purchasing our bonus show content really make the show fly. Thanks once again for supporting the Mike O'Mara Show bonus hour.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.